acted out of that video was God kept that child alive. Oh, finally they all just take off flying, don't they? All right. Well, good Saturday evening to you, and glad that you're here. Thank you for coming out and supporting our Saturday evening service. When my great grandmother was, I think she died when she was 88. Monica and I had just gotten married, so I was 21, 22. Oh, well, maybe it was a little over that, but Stephanie was older. But anyway, she seemed like a real, real old person. Today, she seems fairly young to me. Because now I'm 62. But when you're 22 and someone's 90, they seem to be very, very old. But it seems to me, is anybody, those of you here who are a little older, let's say, did it seem like that life went by pretty fast to you? Don't it? You know, when I was 15 and I had 1 year to go to get my driver's license, that was the longest year of my life. Longest year. I thought I would never turn 16. Next thing you knew, I was 25, 35, 55, 62, at a blink of an eye. And some of you who are older than me, like Carl, or whatever, I mean, you know.
Hey.
You know, I never was good at math anyway. But, you know, it just seems like it's just a blink of an eye. Really, it does. It seems like it's just a blink of an eye. And you're there. Well, when you think about this series that we're talking about, Kendra, you can go ahead and put the number on the screen. What is my purpose? That's this overall series that we're preaching on. This part six is life is a temporary assignment. Temporary means it's not permanent. This is not my permanent home. Meaning world and here. And thank God, this is not my permanent situation. Having to do dialysis, open heart surgery, foot wounds since World War II. I mean, all of the stuff that is wrong with me, and yet I'm thankful to God that I still go every day, still do basically what I want to do. But I hurt. Sometimes I don't sleep that well. And things just bother me more than what they used to. And the older you get, you begin to think and to know, I've got a whole lot more time behind me than I've got ahead of me. But say, maybe you agree with that, Allison? That's right. I mean, it really does. It gets to that point. Now, but in understanding that, when we get into this evening, that's not a bad thing from a Christian standpoint of view. Because this is not my final home. Thank God I've got another place. Now, that place is called eternity. Not temporary, but eternity. Because of what Jesus did for me, and because I had enough sense to believe it. Everybody said?
Amen.
All right. All right, can we look at Scripture? Psalms 39:4. Now this is the King James version of putting it, and we'll sort of put it in everyday language here real quick. Lord, make me know my end, and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Everyday language. I'm not getting any younger. The older I get, the more frail I'm going to get. My days are measured. But understand, once you are born, you're dying. That's just common sense. Everybody here is dying. How's that for uplifting? Boy, you really feel good about yourself, don't you? But from a Christian standpoint of view, dying is the next step. As we look at it, take the journey with me. All right. Life on earth, as we're living it right now, is a temporary assignment. The Bible is full of metaphors that teach about brief, temporary, transient nature of life on earth. Life is described as a mist, a fast runner, a breath, a wisp of smoke. The Bible says, "For we were born but yesterday, our days on earth as our transient as a shadow." If you stand in a shadow long enough, sooner or later, it goes away, doesn't it? It does. That's what we are. I understand that. To make the best use of your life, you must never forget two truths. Listen to this closely. First, compared with eternity, life is extremely brief. And how true that is. Now, when you're young, you think, I've got my whole life ahead of me. But once you begin to get some years on you, you begin to understand, it was just yesterday I was a kid. That's really what it seems like to me. It really does. Second, earth is only a temporary residence. You won't be here long, so don't get too attached. Ask God to help you see life on earth as He sees it. David prayed this, "Lord, help me to realize how brief my time on earth will be. Help me to know that I am here for but a moment more." Blink of an eye. Your identity is in eternity. Say that one more time. Your identity is in eternity, and your homeland is heaven bound. Wow. When you grasp the truth, you will stop worrying about having it all on earth. God is very blunt about the danger of living for the here and now. Yeah. And adopting the values, priorities, and lifestyles of the world around us. When we flirt with the temptations of this world, God calls it spiritual adultery. The Bible says, you're cheating on God if all you want is your own way, flirting with the world every chance you get. You end up enemies of God and His way. Now what's that mean? When you put more value on your temporary time on this planet than you do everlasting time in heaven, that hurts God's feelings. Now, obviously, we're living life. We have to live life. We all understand that. Okay? But how you live life tells God the value you put on this temporary time we've got on this planet. It really does. In order for you to come here today, it took what? Besides transportation. What did it take? What?
Time.
Didn't it? There's a lot of other things you could probably be doing and we'd be doing. Maybe eating dinner, or maybe watching a movie, or I don't know, out shopping for something, doing what? It took time for you to be here. God, listen to this closely, God watches the time we spend here to measure what he thinks we're going to look at time in the next life. If he can't get us here now, how are we going to do eternity? Does that make sense so far? Because we all live by a clock. Even when people used to tell me this all the time. When I retired, I don't know how I found time to work. And Monica and I find that out all the time. You're always going to a doctor. You've always got this going on. You got that going on. And sometimes you wonder, how in the world did I have time to work 40, 50, 60 hours a week? Because we all live by this thing called time. We're ruled by it. To me, besides the marvelous scenery that we're going to have in heaven that the Bible tries to describe, we cannot even understand it. The best thing that will not be in heaven is a watch. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Should have flipped this over so I wouldn't have lost my spot. All right, give me a second. But think about that. There will be no clock in heaven. The fact that Earth, the world, the planet we live on, is not our ultimate home explains why, as followers of Jesus, we experience difficulty, sorrow, and rejection in this world. Because this is not my final home. It also explains why some of God's promises seem unfulfilled, some prayers seem unanswered, and some circumstances seem unfair. This is not the end of the story. How many times I have heard people say to me, I pray for this situation, I pray for this situation, and I don't seem to get an answer to it. Let me tell you what I'm convinced of, and I'm going to give you my own personal walk to do this. A lot of you, including myself, very frequently pray. Praying for my foot. Almost 20 years. Praying that someday I would get a kidney. Can't seem to get a kidney because it won't touch me because of my foot and all sorts of things. Been praying that somehow or another I would find a way to get healed from these two things. Now, God has not answered that prayer. I have come to the realization that that may not get answered in my lifetime, but it will get answered. With me so far? Because I promise you, when I leave this world, I will not have a foot issue. That's a promise to me. I will not have a kidney issue. That's a promise to me. I won't have a heart issue. That's a promise to me. And if my prayer doesn't get answered in this lifetime, it will get answered. Give the Lord a hand. One thing God has done is he has sustained my life. And even though I've always got mountains in front of me, he seems to get me over the mountains. And I tell everybody this all the time. Simply because I realize that God has to keep me on my feet if he still wants me to preach the gospel. And somehow or another, he still wants me to preach the gospel. He has to keep me on my feet in order to do that effectively. So, I think what God has tried to explain to me is quit praying for you to be healed. Just keep praying to keep me on my feet. And when I change my whole, because if not, you can let this thing play mind games. I mean, I got people all around me that I know getting kidneys left and right and doing this, no more dialysis and all that. And I see this all the time. And it gets to play a mind game with you. But I say, hey, there's a lot of people today that will pass away because of physical issues. And most people, considering what I've been through, wouldn't be alive today. So God is answering many, many prayers for me. You understand? You have to stop to understand this the way it is. If not, all you'll do is be mad at God all of your life. Because you seem to think, I prayed for this and nothing's happening. You might be surprised what's happening and you don't even know it. You have to live this life by faith. Because if you live it by faith in this temporary world we live in, it's the faith that's going to take you to the next world that you do not want to miss, period. You do not. I don't care how aggravated you get at God in this lifetime or what you seem to think, but I promise you, you want to be ready for the next world. And the only way to get ready for the next world is to know Jesus in this world. That's biblical. That's Bible. That's what it's about. Everybody with me? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. In order to keep us from becoming too attached to this world, God allows us to feel a significant amount of discontentment and dissatisfaction in life, longing that we will never be fulfilled on this side of eternity. Now, does that make sense to you? What's this writer saying? He's saying sometimes, folks, everything you touch is going to go wrong. And you're going to have an attitude with it. Well, why does God want everything to go wrong? Why does he want me to have an attitude? Because he does not want us to get too attached to this place here. He really doesn't. He wants us to understand this is in a fallible world. This is a sinful world. This world is a mess. You turn on the TV, you look at the internet, you look at every part of this planet is a mess. And this country is getting, just like the rest of the world, on so many levels. It is just all about us. Us. What can anybody do for me? It's not what can I do for someone else. It's what can you do for me? It really has become a world of an attitude. And the Bible told us that just what happened. That before the trumpet sounds, this world will be in the worst state it can be. Now, it's going to go from bad to worse during that 7-year tribulation. I'm not going to be here. I don't want to be part of it because Jesus is going to take me out of this world. If I'm alive, when the tribulation starts, he's going to come and get us. I'm already in the ground, I'm already in heaven anyway. Understand, as bad as you think it is now, it will get worse before it gets better. And then when Jesus comes back for that 1,000 years, we're going to have a good time. And then the new heaven and the new earth. And 1,000 years is going to go by like a blink of an eye. Because when you think of eternity, what is time in eternity? What time's no more. Like I said, we won't have no more watches, no more alarm clocks, no more any of that kind of stuff. I mean, my alarm, when I do dialysis, my alarm goes off at 5 o'clock in the morning. 5 o'clock in the morning. 5 o'clock in the morning. You ought to see me at 5 o'clock. No, but you don't see me at 5 o'clock. It is, listen to this closely, a fatal mistake to assume that God's goal for your life is material prosperity or popular success as the world defines it. The abundant life has nothing to do with what you own. It's what's in your heart.
Wow.
You catch that? If you can own the world and go to hell, or you can be homeless and one day have the greatest hope of eternity. It's not what you own. It's not what you possess. It's what's in your heart. Paul was faithful, yet he ended up in prison. John the Baptist was faithful, but he was beheaded. Millions of faithful people have been martyred, have lost everything, or have come to the end of their life with nothing to show for it. But the end of life is not the end. You can look throughout your Bible, and almost every person who made a difference in their lives, so much so that they were quoted in the Bible, died a horrible death. That's bad. And yet they did it for a cause. Jesus died one of the most horrible deaths. And yet he did it for everyone of us. And anybody that's watching me for that camera right there. You really think about the sacrifices of the people that came before us from a spiritual standpoint that literally gave their lives that you and I have the freedom to come to this church and to have church. That's from history, that's from the spiritual world, that's from our military. That's for everything. There are people who lay down their lives, from people in the Bible to people all over the world in the military, so that you and I can have the freedom to be in this little church tonight on a Saturday evening to talk about Jesus. Because in some parts of the world, they would come in here and shoot every one of us or hang us for what we're doing here tonight. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Your time on earth is not the complete story of your life. You must wait until heaven for the rest of the chapters. It takes faith to live on earth as a foreigner. Boy, if that's not true. You will not be in heaven 2 seconds before you cry out, "Why did I place so much importance on things that were so temporary?" You will not be in heaven 2 seconds when you say, "What kind of a dummy was I?" When I look to see what I'm going to have for eternity, and all I did for my 60, 70, 80, 90 years on earth was gone. 2 seconds. From the manner you take that last breath, when your spiritual body wakes up in heaven, you're going to think, "What was I thinking?" Thank God Jesus forgave my soul. Now, turn that around, it's the other way. You're not going to be in hell 2 seconds if you don't wish that God. You have one more chance. You believe that? Oh, I do. Wherever you're going to wake up is eternity. Is it welcome home, that good and faithful servant, or depart from me? I never knew you. And it's all how you live it right now. Your choices right now. How you live your life right now. What are your priorities right now? When life gets tough, when you're overwhelmed with doubt, or when you wonder if living for Christ is worth the effort, believe me, we've all asked this question. Remember that you are not home yet. At death, you won't leave home. You will go home. What a way to phrase something. To those people who are sick and dying, or people who will be killed today in an accident all over the world. If they truly are a child of God, they did leave. They will. You really put it and look at it in that term. That's life changing on how you think about everything. I know you have to work, and you have to survive while you're in this world. You'll get sick, you'll have issues. You're going to deal with all types of stuff while you live on this world. But understand one thing. Walk by faith. Walk by faith. When you can't see the next step ahead of you, or if you wonder if your world has fell apart, walk by faith. Because the people who walk by faith hear the words, walk upon thy good and faithful servant. The greatest words that anybody can hear. But if you don't walk by faith, and all you do is live a life of doubt, complain, fuss, cuss, everything, blame the world, blame God, blame everything for your situation. You think life is hell now, when you hear the words, depart from me, I never knew you, you're in heaven now compared to what you're going to see and what you're going to feel. And that is the gospel of the truth. And that's why the Lord's allowed me to keep standing, because I can tell you there are two ways. There's heaven